And so that's this Sunday. Hallelujah. Let me see what else we got. Amen. Glory to God. School of the Hebrews getting ready for another tour date. Amen. We getting ready. Amen. Hallelujah. And so one of the cities, amen, that we received a lot of requests from for us to visit. Amen. We're going to go to Houston. Amen. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. And it's March 2nd and March 3rd. Amen. And we're just going to give you just like a little bit of information. Amen. That's a Friday and a Saturday. Amen. March 2nd and March 3rd. And we're going to do our best, amen, to provide like bus transportation. Amen. So for those who can't drive, amen, or would prefer not to drive, amen, we're going to have at least one, but hopefully two buses, amen, to shuttle people who want to be out there and want to support, amen, to come on out. Of course, you're going to have to pay for the gas of the bus and stuff like that, amen. But we Hebrews, we know that stuff costs now, amen. We know stuff costs, amen. All right. Praise him. And so for those who want to get on board, amen, y'all let me know. We got a few brothers, amen, with some chauffeur license, CDLs and stuff like that. If you have one, I need to know that, amen. So kind of just sign up. We need to start a list. I need to know all the brothers, amen, with those type of driver's license and stuff like that. Not that we would use you this time because we got brothers, hallelujah, but you just never know, amen. And some of the monies that we collect from those that ride, we'll be able to give you a little stipend, a little scholarship, a little money for driving the bus, amen. The wheels on the bus go round and round. That's right. Just thought I'd throw that in there, all right? And so so y'all let me know, amen. Minister Stan, you want to collect those names for me whenever you? All right, all those that have CDLs, either text or see Minister Anthony, amen, and we'll get that going. Let me see what else. Pretty, you had anything else? We had something, huh? Me neither, man. We'll tell you the hotel for Houston as we get that information, amen. We kind of trying to decide between two of them. And so we'll make that determination, like, you know, in a couple of days. And we'll do that like that. Amen. And so Houston is March 2nd and March 3rd. Amen. Hallelujah. Anything else? I was trying to stall. Anything else? All right. Yeah, that was it. Okay, we want to remember we're doing our photo book for the church. Hallelujah. And all the families that took pictures. Maybe you missed the picture day when we was here, because you was out of town. There is a makeup picture day, amen. I just don't know that date. February 18th, amen. So that's the makeup picture day, so you can come. Just schedule with Miss Shalanda, amen. Call the church, and we'll do the makeup picture day, and you'll be good. Amen, all right. So I think that's it, y'all. Hallelujah. If you think of something, just let me know. Well, look, open our Bibles up, if you would, to 2 Samuel chapter 18, verse 19. And we're going to get cranked up. Amen. I just want to start off by saying that this Bible study is going to be more like of an outline. Amen. I'm going to have a lot of points. And I'm not going too deep in any of them. Amen. But this is for you, our men. You know, we've been talking about our men being teachers in the home. Amen. Man of God, if you take notes tonight, amen, you will have a lesson. You'll have about three or four lessons for your family. Three or four lessons for your family. You'll be able to discuss this, amen, for probably like about 4, 5, 6 weeks, amen. I'm going to have that many points, but it's going to be just like a skeletal outline, amen. But I'm believing that it's going to be a word, amen, that will bless our wives and bless our children, amen. So, man of God, get ready. Take notes, amen. Get on your phone. Do what you got to do. This is going to be a skeleton lesson for you so that you can expound this truth and bring it to your home. Come on, give God some glory, amen. All right, we'll look at a few verses tonight. It's going to be a lot of verses, but I'm going to just read a few of them. Starting 18:19, the Bible says, Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king tidings, how that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. And Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings, because the king's son is dead. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? But howsoever, said he, let me run. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. And David sat between the two gates, and the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, a man running alone. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. He came apace and drew near. And the watchman saw another man running. The watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringeth tidings. And the watchman said, methinketh the running of the foremost is like the running of Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. Let's go ahead and stop right there. We may cover more, but we'll stop right there. Father, we pray you bless your word and allow your anointing to be with it, go with it, to accompany it, so that it will accomplish the purpose for which you sent it. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Saints of God, we are in 2 Samuel, and we're talking about David and his son Absalom, how they went through this civil war, this struggle for the throne, amen. The place where we are in the scriptures, amen, David has been victorious in battle. They fought a war in the wood of Ephraim, amen, and David was victorious because he had a smaller, more skilled, amen, and more experienced force. The Bible tells us that Absalom was actually caught in a tree, amen, and despite David's warnings, amen, Absalom was killed, and he was killed by Joab and Joab's armor bearers, amen. Well, right after, hallelujah, Absalom is killed, two messengers come up, and Joab is about to send a message to the king to tell him how went the battle. We pick up right at verse 19, right when the messengers are speaking to Joab. And we're going to call this word running for the Lord. Somebody say running for the Lord. That's right, that's right, that's right. Running for the Lord. Let me see that right there. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. All right, that's good, that's good. Praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Running for the Lord. Hallelujah. Like I said, we're going to have a few points, and so just take good notes, amen. We're going to have two messages we're going to talk about. We're going to talk about Ahimaaz and Cushai, both of which will be running to the king to deliver a message. And we're going to learn, amen, important truths about life from both of these runners, all right? When I say running for the Lord in the title, I mean working for the Lord. Not just in preaching, not just in teaching, but for your particular gift, running for the Lord, working for the Lord, laboring for the Lord. It could be preaching, teaching, administration, counseling, serving, ushering, in the nursery, amen. You going into ministry full time, however your gifting is in the kingdom, we call that what? Running for the Lord, all right? We're going to see some truths from both of these brothers. Let's begin with our first point. If you're going to run for the Lord in this life, you will need, number one, desire and love. Somebody say desire and love. All right, look at verse 19. The Bible says, then said Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, let me now run and bear the king's tidings, how that the Lord had avenged him of his enemies. If you remember, Ahimaaz, amen, is the son of Zadok, the priest. Earlier in our text, he was one of the spies in Absalom's kingdom. David had a network of espionage hidden, embedded in Absalom's kingdom. And Hushai would send a message to Jonathan and Zadok. And Zadok would tell Ahimaaz. And they would run and deliver the message to David. Well, Ahimaaz was part of that espionage network. He was already a runner. And he knew about delivering messages and being faithful. Amen. Not only that, He loved the king. He absolutely loved David. He risked his life and his limb for David. Amen. Because remember, when they were delivering that message, they were chasing these guys. Amen. Through Israel. So they couldn't get the message to David. But they hid and they finally got that message that David needed, which ultimately wound up saving David's life. So him as, amen, he wanted to help David. He had that desire and he loved the king. And he wanted, Miss Pam, to run out there and deliver a good message to the king and say, King, we finally defeated your enemies. You've been successful. We can go back to the palace. All right? He loved the king and he desired to help him. The same thing is true for us. If you are going to live a life to run for the Lord and work for the Lord, amen, you're going to have two things to labor for him. You will need desire, like Ahimaaz, and you will need love for the king just like Ahimaaz. If you don't have either one, amen, you will not work long and your work for the Lord will not be successful. Number one, you will need desire, amen. The Bible tells us if any man desire the office of a bishop, amen. The Bible tells us covet to prophesy, amen. There has to be a longing in your heart to actually do something for the Lord. The desire can't be for you and for you to get your shine on. The desire can't be for money, amen. It's got to be a desire to work for the Most High God. Whatever you do it heartily as unto the Lord. It can't be for nothing else, all right? Whether you're teaching, preaching, singing, ushering, whatever, your desire has to be there to give glory unto God. Not only your desire, but your love. God bless the truth. You got to love God. You see, if you don't really love God, you're not going to work long for God, no. Because in our work, sometimes it get tough. Sometimes it get rough. And sometimes, amen, people don't like you and don't like what you're saying and going to talk about you. And if you don't desire the work and if you don't love God, you're not going to keep working. I don't know who I'm talking to, but whatever you do for the Lord, whether you dance, whether you work security, it's got to be for the love of God. That's why you're doing it. Woo! Anybody hear me up in here? Don't come here and do nothing for me or do anything for First Lady. Because we might burn you up. And what you going to do? You going to quit? You going to leave now? You going to run? You going to leave church? Uh-uh. Oh, no, Pastor, I know you ruffled my feathers, but I'm not here for you. I'm here for Jesus. I'm here for Yahshua. I'm here for Yahweh. And I'm going to work for the Lord. This is how it's got to be. Ahimaaz had the right desire, y'all. He said, let me go. Let me run. Because I love the king. And I desire to work for him. The second thing we see in the text, amen, is about timing. Somebody say timing. That's right. That's right. Ahimaaz had the desire. He had the love, but he had the wrong timing. Anybody with me so far? All right? Had the wrong timing. We've been talking about timing a lot lately, amen. In verse 20, the Bible says this, and Joab said unto him, thou shalt not bear tidings this day. But thou shalt bear tidings another day. Somebody say, not today. That's what Joab told him. Not today. All right? All right? Yeah. Not today. Not today. He didn't say no, but he just said, not today. All right? All right? I'm not going to tell you until you tell your neighbor that, but tell me, somebody say, not today. Yeah. That's what Joab told. Come on, you can take that off that phone and people laugh too much. Joab told Ahimaaz, thou shalt not bear tidings this day. You see? Running for the Lord is all about timing. You see? You see, delayed does not mean denied. All right? And so sometimes we want to do something for God, but we got to hold up for a second. How many people ever wanted to do something for God, but you had to wait for just a second? Just had to wait for just a second. Amen. How many people know that God going to come through for those who wait on him? Amen. Anybody ever had God come through for something you was waiting on? Amen. Hallelujah. All right. Yeah. Not today. Not today. All right. Moses had a time. David had a time. Joshua had a time. And guess what? You have a time. Wait for your time. It's not that Ahimaaz wasn't a good guy, wasn't called. Amen. He just said, wasn't a runner. He just said, not today. All right? You can't tell God when it's your time. God has to tell you when it's your time. You see? And the fact of the matter is, sometimes we think it's our time, but it's not our time. And God got to tell us. What do you got to tell us? Not today. All right? All right? And God has reasons. God has reasons why he say, not today. When we look at our verse, amen, hallelujah, what verse that was? Glory to God. As we look at verse 20, Joab tells him why. Joab says, but thou shalt bear tidings another day. But this day thou shalt bear no tidings. Why? Because the king's son is dead. Now, this is important. Now, this is important. Remember, God always has a reason to put us on hold. And usually it's for our good. Oh, always it's for our good. Amen. I mean, Cherie, we're waiting on something. He got us on hold. But it's for our good. All right. Well, what's the good here for Ahimaaz? Well, look at it. Because the king's son is dead. See, Joab knew the king better than Ahimaaz knew the king. He knew the king better. Well, David was his uncle. He grew up with David. He was David's nephew. He spent all that time in the wilderness with David. He spent all that time serving David in the palace. He knew David. He knew him really well. And Joab knew that Ahimaaz just wanted to share some good news. Just wanted to celebrate with the king. But he didn't know that David would have been upset about Absalom's passing. All right? You see? And Joab knew that whenever you deliver a message to David, you got to be careful how you deliver it. You see, in times past, people delivered messages to David, Deacon Hill, and just didn't say it right, didn't do it right. And let me tell you, it didn't go well for them. Anybody hear what I'm talking about? In 2 Samuel 1:16, the Lord come out there and said, delivered a message that Saul was dead. And he wanted to embellish the story like he killed Saul. And remember, David said unto him, thy blood be upon thy own head, for thy mouth had testified against thee, saying, I have slain the Lord's anointed. And David took that boy out. Yeah, delivering the wrong message at the wrong time. What about those that came and delivered the message about Ishbosheth's death? In 4:12 of 2 Samuel, David commanded his young men. They slew them, cut off their hands and their feet, and hanged them up over the pool in Hebron. But they took the head of Ishbosheth and buried it in the sepulcher of Abner in Hebron. Listen, Joab was saying, you could run and you could work for the Lord and you could deliver the message of the king, but not right now. It's not a good time. And I know the king better than you, Joab was saying. You see, this ain't no game being a messenger for the king. And Joab was trying to protect Ahimaaz. You see, and for some in here, amen, you want to run for the Lord, but the Lord might tell you through your spiritual authority, not today. Not yet. God might put you, amen, hallelujah, on the second string and not on the first string. Might have you on the bench, amen, but you right about to get in the game. You the next one. If something happened, we're going to put you in, but you're just on the bench for now. But some can't take being on the bench. Some got to be in the game right now. Can't see nobody else shine. Can't see nobody else score. Can't see nobody else be used of the Lord. I want to be in, and I want to be in now. When God's saying, not today. Woo! And in fact, when he said, not today, he said, I'm trying to protect you. Because if you go run for the king now, you're going to hurt yourself. You're going to hurt you. You're not ready to run for him now. You got some inconsistencies and some things up in here. You'll fall and hurt yourself. He said, not today. You see? You see, in this place, amen, I stand here as though like I'm a Joab up in here. And for some that want to do something, if you ever get a word from me that's saying, not today, don't get mad at that. Don't get mad at that. Receive it. I ain't never say no. I just say what? Before you hurt yourself. And the issue of teaching, the Bible says in James 3:1, go straight to the NLT, straight to the NLT. The Bible says, dear brothers and sisters, not many of you should become teachers in the church. Listen now, listen. We're preparing you to come up here. But don't rush. Man of God, we're preparing you. We're getting you ready. That's why we're meeting on Sundays evenings. That's why we're setting you up to learn how to teach in front of your family. Amen. That's why we're bringing you this word. Amen. To sharpen you. Amen. Because I know that once you get up here, everything going to change between you and God. Am I lying, my wife? Am I lying? Am I lying, ministers, deacons? Everything going to change. You see, when you go from student to teacher, the relationship changes between you and God. And God got to deal with you differently. And pastor got to deal with you differently. Because you're not like the children. No, 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 no. You're a swordsman like pastor. Come on, Parker, tell him now. And as a swordsman, there is a higher criteria. Because you can't come up here talking one thing and living another. So you buy your time and you wait till you're ready. The Bible says not many should want to become teachers in the church. For we who teach will be judged more strictly. It's to protect you. It's to protect you. Joab says, you don't know the king like me. Don't go deliver that message. Not yet. You might hurt yourself. See, because you don't know the king. The king's son is dead. See, I'm trying to tell some of y'all, you don't know that the king's son is dead. What does that have to do with me, Pastor? Well, the king gave his son for this. He gave his son for this. It was the blood of the darling of heaven. It was the only begotten. How much would you love your only son? Your only child? And if he had to give his blood, would you allow people to play and trample over him? Joab said, you don't know the king like I know. The king's son is dead. You see? But thank God, our king's son, he died. But on the third day, he rose again, that we might be saved and delivered. Third point. Anyone can run. Anyone can run. Right? Anyone can run. In verse 21, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. And Cushai bowed himself unto Joab and ran. Now Cushai, amen, is kind of like a nickname that they gave this brother right here. Cushai means from Cush. You see what I'm saying? From Cush. It's kind of like Ashanti from Ashan. You see? It's Cushai. It means from Cush. Was Cush? Cush is Ethiopia. So this man wasn't Hebrew. He was an Ethiopian. And he was just one of the servants of Joab, but they called him Cushai. It'd be like we had a brother in here, amen, who was from another place. We'd say, the Indian fellow. You see what I'm saying? You know, Cushai, they called him Cushai. You see? Or the African. Cushai. He was a foreigner. He was a Gentile. So Joab told Ahimaaz, no, you can't run. But he told Cushai, run. What does this tell us? Anyone can run and labor and work for the Most High God. All right? All right? I just got a few claps right there. All right? Don't you dare think that only Hebrews can preach, can teach, can worship, can serve, can be a part of this church or anything else. Don't get like that in here. I know we Hebrews, but we not prejudiced. You understand what I'm saying? We are not racist. All right? And we love every race of man because from one blood, God had made all the races of men and gave his one blood for every race of man. Anyone can run. Are you hearing me up in here? We will never be accused of treating others like they have treated us. You don't become that thing in which you hate. You become better than that thing in which you hate. Are you with me up in here? Anyone can run for the Lord. The doors are open to this church, to this ministry, and to everything else. Now, while the doors are open, we will not deny who we are. We are the Hebrews. And anybody can come and worship with us as long as they know we are the Hebrews. All right? In fact, amen, I believe that in the last days, which we are in the last of the last days, which are approaching, God is going to raise up a people of not just Hebrews, but of white, of black, of Latino, of Asian, of Indian, Arab, Persian. He's going to raise them up all over the world. A people for his kingdom, the kingdom of Yah, the kingdom of God, all right? And we're going to be an instrumental part of that. There's going to be a people tired of wickedness in the earth. Amen. And God's going to use this people. And he's going to use us to be instrumental in that. We're going to be a part of the first fruits of the awakening that's happening to all of mankind. The kingdom of heaven is not one ethnicity. It's not one race. When we get pictures in of heaven in Revelation, we see different tribes, amen, different tongues, amen, different colors and shades and hair types. We see as though it were a montage of people. You see what I'm saying? Of different people. And that's the way the kingdom is. And it's my belief in those last days that God is going to take this multiracial group that understand the truth of God, his Bible, his Savior. Amen. And understand who the original Hebrews were in the book. Amen. And he's going to take that group and he's going to destroy the Babylonian system, the Egyptian system that's headed up by Lucifer and the Antichrist, the beast. Amen. Hallelujah. That's what I believe. Pastor, where you get that from? I get that from Daniel chapter 2. Daniel talks about the stone cut out of a mountain that's going to come. Hallelujah. And it's cut out of a mountain because this group, this rock founded upon the cornerstone of Christ, all right, is going to be created by God. God's going to do this thing. It's a stone cut out of a mountain without hands. And I got a picture. And God says in Daniel 2 that he's going to take that stone and smash Nebuchadnezzar's image. The image of the solid gold head, the silver chest, the bronze, amen, stomach and belly and thighs, amen, and the iron and clay legs mixed with clay, amen. Hallelujah. God's going to take that which represents the kingdoms and the empires of the world, and God's kingdom is going to smash that image at the very bottom. What does that mean? That rock, that kingdom of God is going to take place in the last kingdom, the iron and the clay mixed, which is the Roman kingdom, which we are now in now. Oh, God, y'all don't want to get me started up in here. He's going to take that and smash that image in the feet, and the whole image is going to fall. But it's not a group made out of one people. It's a group made out of his people. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Hallelujah. Anyone can run. Remember that. Anyone can run. We're going to be part of this revival. The earth groans for us to get back to who we were. You see? Point number 4, y'all still up out there? Yes. To be a runner for God, a laborer for God, a workman or a workwoman for God. Point number 4, experience is required. Experience is required. I know on a normal resume you hate this sentence right here. Because you're looking at it and you're like, well, how am I get experience until y'all hire me? All right? But in the kingdom, it's a good thing. In the kingdom, it's a good thing. Watch me now, watch me now. In verse 21 again, then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. All right? Go tell the king what thou hast seen. Go tell the king what thou hast seen. Joab tells Cushai to go and tell the king. King, tell the king what you saw, what you heard, what you felt. Tell the king what you have witnessed. Tell the king about your experience of the battle and what happened. Amen. Hallelujah. Tell the king what happened from your perspective. All right? For you to be a runner for God, a workman for God, a laborer for God, all right? You have to have had an experience with God. Got a lot of people want to work for God and they ain't experienced God. All right? All right? For you to be a laborer, for you to be a workman in any field, whether it's preaching, teaching, worship, how you going to worship when you ain't never met him? How you going to dance for him and you ain't never met him? How you going to teach for him and you never met him? How you going to shepherd his children in the nursery when you ain't even met him? You're not following him yourself. You have to have an experience with Yahweh, with Yahshua, with our God, for you to labor for him in his vineyard. If you don't know him, you will be ineffective. If you don't know him, amen, you won't know which way to lead his people. To be a workman, hey God, you have to have an experience. Yeah. You got to have an experience. And the first experience you got to have to work for the Most High, you got to be saved. You got to be saved. You got to be born again. You got to have been to the cross where you admit you're a sinner. And you confess and believe in your heart that Jesus, hallelujah, died on the cross and rose from the grave. You got to be born again. And a lot of people, they're working for God and the work is not successful. You ever had people like that? They work and work and work, but there's no grace added to their work. Their ministries are dying. Their churches are small. Everything is hard. It's like trying to ride a bike with no oil on a chain. Rusty. Why? There's no grace. And a lot of times it's that way, amen, because you have no experience. You see, that was the story of the Methodist leader. Come on, Holy Ghost. John Wesley. Thank you. I appreciate that. Wesley was preaching for years before he got saved. And then he heard a real preacher that was saved. And he felt the fire. And saw the effect of real preaching and real saving. Amen. He saw the grace. And he said, I need to get some of this. And the Moravian brother went through the gospel with him and he got saved and he never preached the same again. Anybody hear me up in here? If your work is not going right, amen, have you had an experience? I remember talking to Minister Phil, amen, and he met a brother, amen, that was in some type of false religion. And the brother was trying to convert Phil and Phil was like, I'm going to flip the script, try to convert him. You know how Minister Phil is. So Phil looked at the fellow and he said, man, what has God done for you? See, because it's just not your salvation experience that's an experience, no. But even after salvation, what has God done for you? All right? What's your testimony? Because that's going to make you a more effective laborer. Not only that you have a salvation story, but you have a testimony. When I look back over my life and I think things over, I can truly see that I've been blessed. What's your testimony? You see, when you get a testimony, that makes you a more effective laborer. You see, we are not only overcome by the blood of the Lamb, but we overcome by the word of our testimony. Do you have a testimony? Has God done some things for you? And when God, when Phil, hallelujah, was led by the Lord to ask this man that, he couldn't say much. He couldn't say much. And the ministers start telling the young man all the things that God had done for him and kept him alive. And Lord, let me tell you, God, the Lord is good. The Lord is good. Keep that little fella. Lord is good. Lord is good. Many miracles. Many miracles. Phil started going on and on about how he was in a motorcycle accident and broke all his bones. And the Lord miraculously healed his arm. Healed his wrist. He just started going on and on how good God had been to him. Dude, just looking at it, dumbfounded. You know what I'm saying? You see, because those with an argument can't handle somebody with an experience. Because you could fuss all you want about your facts, but I know my Redeemer lives. You understand what I'm saying? That's like the Pharisees and the man that was born blind. He said, I was blind, but now I see. You can say what you want. You can say what you want. But an experience makes you a more effective laborer and a workman. And that's why sometimes God will tell you to wait. Not today. Because you're not finished building up your testimony. Not today. You don't have a really reason to worship yet. Not today. You don't have a real reason to dance yet. Not today. You don't have a real reason to preach yet. Not today. But when he finished with you, you will. And then you're going to dance like David. And then you're going to preach like Peter. Because when I denied him, he took me back. When I spoke, oh, come on, somebody here. Experience required. Not only that, number five. To be a workman, a laborer, you're going to need humility and obedience. Humility and obedience. We're just going over how to be a runner for God, how to work for God, how to put yourself in a position that when God needs somebody to deliver his message, he's going to call on you. All right? And what you need, amen, point five, you need both humility and obedience. Verse 21. Then said Joab to Cushai, go tell the king what thou hast seen. Look what Cushai does. Cushai bowed himself unto Joab, and then what did he do? He ran. Humility and obedience. You see, once you're commanded to run, you need humility and obedience. Number one, you need humility. You have to receive the command to run for God with humility. You see? Cushai humbled himself. He bowed. All right? When God tells you to do something, do you bow in the spirit? Or do you say, no, God, I don't want to clean the bathroom. I want to lead the worship team. No, God, I don't want to be on security. I want to lead security. Or are you humble enough to come in and be where God tells you to be? Huh? Huh? That's, you know what I'm saying? No, God, I don't want to usher. I want to be head usher. I don't want to teach. I want to be a minister. But what if God tells you to run in that place, in that position? Are you humble enough to say, God, whatever you say, I'm going to do, and I'm not going to ask no questions about it. I don't have to be the boss. I'm going to bring everything I got to the table. I'm going to teach them all if I got to. With no glory. Will you run? Oh, come on. Are y'all hearing me up in here? To be a workman for God, you see, because sometimes God will call you to a lower position than actually you deserve. Pastor, what you mean? I'm receiving milk. You see, he anointed David king, but called David to play the harp in the kingdom. Come on, somebody. What in the world? What in the world? If David wouldn't have humbled himself and obeyed, he would have been like, play what? Boy, I'm the king, boy. Boy, B-A-W. David could have said, not today. No, 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 no. You get in where you fit in. It's not where you start, it's where you finish. And sometimes God will take you to the palace through the back door. And that's but you got to learn how to humble yourself under the mighty hand of God that he might exalt you in due time. When you hear the command to run, you run no matter how he say run. No matter where he say run. You work wherever, man. As unto the Lord. Look, man, I started vacuuming my pastor's sanctuary, man. I got a law degree. You understand what I'm saying? I'm standing before judges and governors. You see what I'm saying? What you doing, Pat? I'm working unto the Lord. Because the Lord see it. The Lord see it. The Lord see it. Look now. Yeah. You got to run with humility. You might not be the boss. Might not get much pay. Might not be that popular. But run. Run, Cushai. Run. Secondly, obedience. Yeah, obedience. Humility and obedience. When they tell you to run, just run. And you not only run, you run now. Because you... delayed obedience is disobedience. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God. And that's the thing. Serving God is like double dutch. You want to be jumping at the right time. You won't jump in too early, but you don't want to jump in too late. It's got to be the rhythm. You got to be the rhythm. You got to be, oh, you know what I'm saying? So with serving God, don't be too early. Wait on him. But when he called you, don't be too late. I remember Jesus told, amen, hallelujah, some of them guys, he was talking to some of them guys in Luke. And he was like, follow me. And the boy was like, yeah, I got to go bury, I got to go bid such and such farewell. Follow me, come work. Well, Lord, I got a little boo in my comb. I got to go see by and tell her that my life had changed. He said, come work. But Lord, I still got the little drink in my refrigerator. I got to. He said, come work. But Lord, listen, I bought me a 20 second. I got $10 left on that guy. Look what the Bible says in Luke 9. What the Bible say? All right, I'm talking to somebody in here. See, because God calling them to work, but they're putting God on hold. You don't want to put God on hold? No. Listen, God going to move on, yeah. God going to move on. When the generation didn't go in the land when they were supposed to, God move on to the next generation. He waited till that generation died. And when they said, oh, we're going to go now, Lord. Humility and obedience. In Luke 9:62, look. Jesus said unto him, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back is fit for the kingdom. In the NIV, I love it because it says, no one who puts a hand to the plow and looks back is fit for service in the kingdom. You tell you run now, and you don't concern yourself with the position he put you in. See, because while you're looking at the position you're supposed to have, you're not thankful for the position that you got. And when God look out and see you're not thankful for the position that you have currently, not only will he not give you the position you want, but he very well might remove you from the position that you have. Man, I'm trying to teach you the ways of God up in here, man. Look at your neighbor. Tell him, be happy for where you're at. Look at your other neighbor and say, I know. Yeah. Come on, y'all holding me up. Y'all holding me up. To be a runner, a laborer, you need a message. You need a message. You got to have something to say. Oh, yeah, man, God, take good notes. I'm telling you. You're going to better break that down to them children. You're going to better break that down. I'm telling you. You need a message. Verse 22. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, he said yet again to Joab, but howsoever let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son, seeing that thou hast no tidings ready? You ain't got no news to share. You don't have no message to bring. Why you want to run so bad and you ain't got nothing to say? What is up with that? Ahimaaz wanted to run, y'all. But why? He had no message. Before you can run for the Lord and work for the Lord and sing for the Lord and dance for the Lord, you better have a message ready. You better have some news to share. The Bible says in 1 Peter, but sanctify the Lord God in your hearts and be ready. Always to give what? An answer. To who? To every man that asketh you a reason for the hope that's in you. You got to have a message. You got to have a message. We have so many running right now. So many working for the Lord. And they get up in front of people and they have no message. They have nothing to say. So they cut the message because they don't have nothing to say. They cut the message 20 minutes, 15 minutes, 10 minutes. Can I get a 5-minute message? Can I get a 5-minute?
And the 5-minute message seemed like an eternity because they ain't saying nothing. And very same preacher would take the same text and preach for an hour and a half, and it seemed as but a moment in the time. Why? Because the preacher took you on a trip to eternity. Had something to say. Anybody with me so far? You got to have something to say. So many running with no message. So many want to run, but nothing to say just yet. Pastor, let me preach. Let me teach. What you want to say? What you want to say? What you got to say? All right? What you got to say? All right? God bless the truth. Oh, yeah, sure. Oh, yeah. In our work for the Lord, no matter what it is, we got to have a message. And your message is going to come out in your work. Whether you write music, you're going to have a message. Whether you dance, huh, Brandon, you're going to have a message. What are you preaching? You see, when me and First Lady watching Cherie dance, and it's not just Cherie, but it's other people. And Cherie be dancing up there. Cherie got a message, baby. Cherie be up in that so amazing. You know what I'm saying? I be like, Lord. This woman and God done seen some amazing things. And so she come and she got a message. She got a testimony. Same way with singing. Some people sing, but there's no real message. You see what I'm saying? Some people rap, there's no real message. Sometimes we do things just to be seen of men, just to be applauded of men, but we have no message from the King. To be a workman, a laborer, no matter where you are, you got to have a message. All right? And when you get your message, listen to me now, us in the new covenant, part of our message always going to be the gospel. We always got to bring the good news. No matter what you're doing, have the gospel, huh? The good news, Yahshua Jesus. We all sinners, we all separate, but God sent us a Savior. Have that wrapped into whatever you do. I don't care if you're vacuuming. You're vacuuming because Jesus paid it all. You understand what I'm saying? You understand what I'm saying? They come ask you while you're vacuuming. Who that floor dirty? Not as dirty as I was when he found me. You working in the nursery. Oh, them children bad. Oh, we all shaping in iniquity and born in sin. We working in the sound booth. Oh, that sound is good. It's not as good. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God. That's the best sound, the Word. The Word. And the Word became flesh and dwelt amongst us and died for our sins. What you're doing, no matter what you're doing, the gospel got to be in it. And I'm going to tell you, no matter what you do in your gift, and if you put the gospel in whatever you do, I don't care if you put a scripture in your hat or in your shoe, whatever you do, if you put the gospel in it, you are guaranteed power. Woo! Whatever you do, if you put the gospel in it, you're guaranteed power. That's why they can't understand us now. How do you do that? Power. We've learned Romans 1:16. You see? See? Anybody know Romans 1:16? If I'm not ashamed of what? Of the gospel of my Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Why? It is the power of God unto salvation. Listen, man, whatever you put that thing in, if you lead in the ministry, put that gospel in there. If you're singing a song, writing a song, put that gospel in there. If you're preaching a message, put that gospel in there. The gospel, as long as you put the gospel in what you're doing, is going to have power. To be a workman, to be a laborer, you got to have a message. Point number 7. Y'all stay up because I'm going. Stay up. I'm going. Stay up. Point number seven, leaders beware. Verse 22. Then Ahimaaz, the son of Zadok, yet again said to Joab, but howsoever, let me, I pray thee, also run after Cushai. And Joab said, wherefore wilt thou run, my son? Why will you run, seeing that thou hast no tidings, you have no message ready? In verse 23, but howsoever, said he, let me run, please. He's begging him. And he said unto him, run. Then Ahimaaz ran by the way of the plain and overran Cushai. If you're a leader in here, you got to be careful. You see, because sometimes people, through persistence and importunity and pestering and aggravation,
They will push you to let them run before their time. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God. Did you see it there? Oh, please, let me run. Please, please. And Joab knew what was best here. But because of persistence, he let him run. Leaders, be careful. Don't allow somebody to nag you and bother you and bribe you and trick you into allowing them to work for the Lord before their season. The Bible says, hallelujah, if you're a pastor or minister out there, lay hands on no man suddenly. And he's not talking about laying hands like this, no. He's talking about conferring the mantle, the anointing of the pastorate. You see? You see? Let's keep on looking. Verse 24. All right, no. Let's keep on looking at 23. So he let them both run. I'm trying to move quickly. You see, Ahimaaz is a Hebrew, and Hebrews could run. This is evidence that we're Hebrews. Let me tell you something. That brother was fast, all right? He was fast. And he was running against the Ethiopian. Them Ethiopians could run as well. But you put an Ethiopian next to a Hebrew, I guarantee a Hebrew going to smoke him. All right? So the Hebrew running against the Ethiopian. All right? And not only was the Hebrew fast, he was smart. Cushai took the mountainous, hilly road back. Running uphill, running downhill. Running back uphill. Ahimaaz said, nah, I'm going to take the plane. I'm going to take the flat plain in the valley. And I'm going to run. He's running full speed. And he overran him. He outran him. Pick up in verse 24. We almost done. Look. And David sat between the two gates. And the watchman went up to the roof over the gate unto the wall and lifted up his eyes and looked. And behold, a man running alone. He looked out there. He see that ball running. All he got. Look. He running alone. All right. And the watchman cried and told the king, and the king said, if he be alone, there is tidings in his mouth. And he came apace and drew near. The king said, he told the king, man, we see one of them running. And the king said, all right, he must have some good news. All right. Because he's running alone. Now, if the army was running behind him, we'd all be in trouble. All right. David's waiting until after the battle. You know what I'm saying? He said, if there's more running after them, we're in trouble. Get your weapons. We got to fight. But he's running alone, all right? He got good news. Verse 26. And the watchman saw another man running, and the watchman called unto the porter and said, behold, another man running alone. And the king said, he also bringing news too. Verse 27. And the watchman said, I think the running of the foremost, the one in the front, is running like Ahimaaz, because that brother is fast, the son of Zadok. And the king said, he is a good man and cometh with good tidings. 8 points. For you to be a laborer, you got to be a good man or a good woman. All right? For you to be a laborer. All right? As soon as David saw or heard Ahimaaz was running, he said, he a good man. He got to be bringing good news. I just want to say this. All right? There's a correlation between a good man and good news. All right? You see? You see, because a bad tree can't produce good fruit. Oh, God, I'm trying to help you up. And hey, you got to, for you to be a laborer, you got to be a good man. But pastor, I thought we was all sinners. That's right. I thought there was none righteous, no, not one. That's right. I thought that, hallelujah, we all together is unprofitable unto God. That's right. I thought there's none that seek it, none that understand it, and then there's none that's good. That's right. Outside of Christ. But when you get saved and you in Christ, you are supposed to strive for perfection. Strive for the high mark of Christ. Hallelujah. You strive. And when we say be a good man, what I'm saying is strive for righteousness. Strive to be good. It's going to make you a better laborer. Listen, I can go into this, man, so deeply, but our time don't permit. Because the better you are in your character, the more powerful your word, the more powerful your song, the more powerful your ministry will be. Because not only is there power in the gospel, there's power in holiness. There's power in righteousness. And when people hear you real, recognize real, you won't hear me saying don't do this while I'm doing it. And there's no power in that. Nobody gonna listen to that. What's from the heart touches the heart. And if you can remember that, you'll be a great laborer no matter what you do. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Just setting you up an outline. So you could take this, point number 9, and then point number 10, and we're going to be done. Pastor, you brought 10 points tonight. That's right. That's right. That's right. Pastor, I thought it was going to be 3 points. Not today. Point number nine, don't forget the bad news. If you're going to be a good laborer, yeah, bring a good news message. But don't forget the bad news. Come on, look at this word right here. Look at it. And Ahimaaz called in verse 26 and said unto the king, he beat Cushai. As soon as he get that, look what he say, all is well. And he fell down to the earth upon his face before the king and said, blessed be the Lord thy God, which had delivered up the men that lifted up their hand against my lord, the king, blah, 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 blah. All is well. But David didn't want to hear all that. They wanted to hear one thing. Verse 29, and the king said, is the young man Absalom safe? And Ahimaaz answered, when Joab sent the king's servant and me thy servant, I saw a great tumult, but I knew not what it was. Boy, you're lying. Boy, you're lying. You just ain't got the courage to bring the bad news. You knew Absalom was dead. You want me to show y'all? Look at verse 20. Look at verse 20. Remember when Joab told him, you ain't got no news? You ain't got no news? Not today. Joab told him, not today. Why did Joab tell him that? Hallelujah. Because the king's son is. You ain't got no good news. You ain't got no news, man. He knew the king's son was dead. And when the king asked him, is Absalom safe? Well, I don't know. Boy, you're lying. And you're lying because you can only tell people good news. You can't tell them the bad news. Listen to me. If you're going to be a laborer, if you're going to be a workman for the Lord, you're going to have to train yourself to be bold in the spirit. You're going to have to train yourself to tell people more than all is well. Anybody hear me up in here? Anybody hear me up in here? You can't be lying to the people. Because all is not well. In fact, if they don't get saved, all will not be well at all. All will be bad. It's only all well when you call according to his purpose. That's when all things work together for your good. Some of us telling our families it's all well when we know they ain't saved. We know they're about to bust hell wide open. For you to be a true laborer and a true workman, you have to be able to tell people the whole truth and nothing but the truth. So help me God. Oh, come on here, somebody. Come on here, somebody. It can't be just all good news. When you meet a true man of God, a true woman of God, there's going to be some bad news out of that. They're not just going to tell you the soft truth. They're going to tell you the hard truth. Not just going to tell you the stuff that you like, but the stuff you don't like. Won't just give you the stuff that tastes good, but the stuff that's going to make you feel good. J. Vernon McGee, amen, Bible teacher, hallelujah, our boy, he talked like this, and the Lord said, but he bring a mighty word. Vernon McGee says, there are so many messengers running, but they are only telling humanity that all is well, when God is saying it's not well. Jeremiah 6:14 says, they have healed the hurt of my people slightly by saying what? Peace, peace. When God in his heart is saying, there is no peace. The NIV says they dress the wound of my people, though it's not serious. Listen to me good. For the world that we're living in right now, saints, it's a bad time. And for you to be a teacher, a preacher, a songwriter, a rapper, a dancer, whatever you got to be in the kingdom to labor for the Lord, give the Lord liberty to be honest through you. 1 Thessalonians 5:3, for when they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction cometh upon them as travail upon a woman with child. Listen to me good. I try to be a laborer, man. I try to make it to where you're not going to come here and get just what you want to hear. You're going to come and get what you need to hear. Come on, give God some glory. If you one of them, just them good news preacher type peoples, all right? You know what I'm saying? I ain't mentioning no name because that's not what I'm in here for. But it's not what God would like. Let me show you what God going to do to those in verse 30. All right? Verse 30. And the king said unto him, turn aside
and stand here. Get out of the way, man. Get out of the way. You come that running, Steve. All is well. All is well. Is Absalom safe? You can't bring him the good news? Get out of the way, man. Stand aside. I got another messenger coming. If you're going to work for the Lord, amen, and you just going to tell people good things and nice things, you know what God's going to tell you? Stand aside. Stand aside. I got somebody else coming right behind you that's going to tell the people what they really need to hear. Woo! Last point, then we done. Y'all still up? Y'all all right with this? Point number 10. To be a laborer, you got to remember tack. Tack. This is the balance right here. You tell people the bad news, yeah, but you got to know how to tell them. It's not always what you say, no. It's how you say it. And when God trained you to be a laborer, a preacher, a teacher, a witnesser, he's going to train you in the art of tact. Well, you know how to talk to people. And let me tell you what tact mostly is about. He that have ears to hear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. It's about you loving people. You see? When people can come and say, I tell anybody anything, anytime, it don't mean nothing, and you think that's cool, you don't know the law like you think, man. You see, you don't tell people anything at any time because you can hurt people. When you see somebody that tell somebody anything at any time, it's a love problem. They really don't love people like they ought. And so we pray, we say, God, I fix my mouth. But what we don't know is that it's not a mouth problem. It's a heart problem. You see? Because it's out of the abundance of the heart the mouth speaks. Lord, help me to love them, Lord. You see, when you tell somebody something tough, you know how your heart should feel? Your heart should say, I don't want to hurt them. You don't come up there moving stuff around. I'm going to tell them anything. I'm from the hood. I'm from the projects. I'm from a con. You don't know my mama, my daddy. I got a black heart. I'm missing. That's BC. We in AD, after dominion. And we look at people and we say, I got to tell them this for their good. Lord, help me to have some. Woo! Woo! Somebody say, teach, Pastor. I'm trying. A couple of more things, then we gone. Tact is the art of making a point without making an enemy. Making a point without making an enemy. My father-in-law used to tell me, Mr. Ricky, he said, Marty Ma, that's what he called, Marty Ma. He said, Marty Ma, he said, you could tell somebody off and they'd be smiling afterwards and hugging, y'all be hugging, walking down the street, you done told them all. You know? And I'm not saying I'm always like that. But that's what we strive for. To be able to tell somebody hard, tell somebody something hard, but in a loving way. All right? Look, let me give you another one. Tact is intelligence of heart. It's not only when your heart filled with love, but your heart is wise and intelligent. You're looking at something, a situation, and you're trying to figure out, okay, how can I tell them this without hurting them? Let me give you another one. We almost done. Don't worry about it. We almost done. When you shoot an arrow of truth, be sure to dip the point in honey first. Make it sweet, baby. Make it sweet. Yeah, be real. Bring the good news and the bad news. But do it with some tact. My God. My God.
David says, is Absalom safe? 32 is our last verse, y'all. Towards the last point. This is the last verse. Look what Cushai said. We're talking about tact. And the king said unto Cushai, go back to 31. And behold, Cushai came. And Cushai said, tidings, my lord the king, for the Lord had avenged thee this day of all them that rose up against thee. And the king said unto Cushai, is the young man Absalom safe? And Cushai answered, the enemies of my lord the king and all that rise against thee to do thee hurt be as that young man is. So eloquent. So much tact. Not rejoicing in Absalom's death, but at the same time telling David that his death was just. He sought your life. He sought your hurt. He was your enemy. And let all the enemies of the king be as Absalom, to be a laborer for the Lord. These are the things that we need. Come on, give God some glory. Amen. Woo! Hallelujah! Father, we thank you so much for your word, and we pray that your word would set in and settle in into the hearts of your people. And we pray that we would take this word and use it, God, to be great laborers in your vineyard, God. I'm praying now, Lord God, because as I went over the gospel a few times in this message, I know that there are some who don't know you personally, who hadn't started a relationship with you, and I'm asking you, O King, to save them. O God, save them in the mighty name of Jesus. If you're here, just repeat after me. Say, Lord, I admit that I'm a sinner, but I believe that you're the Savior. You died for me on the cross. You were buried in the grave, and you rose on the third day. I confess with my mouth that Jesus is Lord, and that he is alive, and that he's coming back. Save me. Use me. Fill me with your spirit, and make me a laborer, a runner in your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Amen, 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 amen. Woo! Hallelujah. Stand with me. We're going to get out of here for the benediction. Thank y'all for staying a little bit late with me, y'all. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. May the Lord bless you. May he keep you. May he cause his face to shine upon you. May the Lord be gracious unto you. May he lift up his countenance upon you and bless you with shalom peace. Shalom peace in your body, peace in your mind.